Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and it's time for another playbook to success. And who better to give it to us than Josh Newman, managing partner at Clatter. Welcome to the playbook, Josh.
Thank you, David. It's an honor to be here. I'm excited to chat.
Well, you know, there's so much zero to one business, and Clatter has the zero to one business down pat when it talks about presentations, microsites, marketing documents. But I think a lot of people don't realize the quantitative value of zero to one. For many years, you know, I do so many Q&As, and I've always said zero to one takes longer than 1 to 100. You know, nobody's going to ask the first question, but once you do, you'll be following me out the door going, wait, can I ask another question? But when you're writing books, when you're preparing things, zero to one is where the money is spent, but it's also where the money is made. And you have a very structured, you know, way of doing so with extreme value. For you, I'm curious what your relationship to that zero to one was in leading this platform and enabling companies to automatically generate these things from zero to one.
Sure. So I think to take a step back, where I, before Clatter, and I actually still run a digital creative shop, it's an agency called Media Tavern. And what we were realizing when we were essentially at the zero point was, about 5 to 10 years ago, a lot of folks were coming to us and saying, we need to have collateral made. We want it to be on brand. We want it to look beautiful. We want it crazy fast. And we want it really affordably. If you can think of like that project management triangle where it's like cheap, good, and I don't even remember what the other one was, but it's like it's like pick two. And so we got to a point where we're like, well, automation has to be the answer to how we can do this. And so having the marketing background that I had and the other members of our team got together, and we just thought through, well, how can we make this happen? How can we take this idea that was a little forward thinking at the time, because automation in like 2016, 2017 wasn't a thing. So how can we take this concept and how can we build this out? And so started with the idea of web-based solutions that you're able to log into, check a few boxes, hit a button, build a slide deck. That morphed into, well, let's take data and do the same thing. So in the healthcare space, being able to create product grids and rate sheets for employers with zillions of numbers of copays and co-insurance, and being able to spit that out. And then suddenly it became microsites, and it turned into this engine that essentially now is, it solves the problem of companies that have a lot of their marketing collateral, their assets set aside, but it's disorganized, it's unusable. We solve that problem by organizing it and making it where outputs for sales and marketing becomes a 3-minute process.
And it's so smart. Now, in doing so, obviously technology has followed you and also enhanced your capabilities, but it's also tightened the gap of competition with more out-of-the-box solutions that are able and capable of doing things. How have you been able to make yourself equal to the technology that exists today, but also differentiate yourself as being able to maintain brands and compliance controls?
So I love that question. So you've got folks out there, so I'll throw out Canva or Beautiful AI or Gamma, where as a startup, you're able to say, I've got an idea. I need an investor deck put together. So here's a bunch of emails I put together and here's an outline. Now make me a deck and make it look awesome. And those tools will do that. And so we actually want to go, let's say, if we're going to call that the shallow end of the swimming pool, we want to be on the deep end of the swimming pool, where we're working typically with larger companies. Most of our clients are in the 200 employees to, I mean, one company that's got 300,000 employees. And so where we look is, we don't focus on the generative AI, the idea of just making things up and do you like this and how should we change it and write some prompts. We take the other end of it that fits in well with compliance and with legal and with brand and with marketing, which is, we use AI for the search and for the intelligence. So the content's going to exist already for our customers. We're going to make it super easy to find. We're going to make recommendations. When you've got a library of 1,500 slides, we're going to use AI to go in and say, well, tell us a little bit about your topic and what you want to do. And we're going to recommend what slides you should use. And we're going to use a little of that Amazon logic of people who use this slide also used these slides as well. So it's that concept of we don't want to play in the game of creating things from a legal standpoint. And you'll appreciate this. If we were to put copy on a slide that said, you may save up to 20% on your health plan, that's the way it has to say. If we just swap the word may, this health plan can save you, that's a lawsuit, because can is a committed, may is, so it's really tricky to do, but we're finding a way to use AI to help people rather than generating content.
Communication and relationship with technology has always been complex. You know, I've been a little bit older, so in technology since 1992, when people like Justice Scalia told me, because I was selling legal research online, that nobody ever will do research on a computer, that you need books. And so we're dealing, especially with the bigger companies, we're dealing with a different form of resistance. And there is a, especially when we have data-driven combinations of software, marketing strategies, and designs, and we talk about compliance controls, the safer bet is always the bet that the bigger companies will make to cover their own ass. I'm sure you've seen the same types of resistance from the top. For you, how have you been able to articulate the safety in utilization of technology to help with the complex communications, to help with, you know, specifically the software, the marketing strategy, and the design?
Sure. So I think it all comes down to guardrails. And so what you have to do with any software product, you're going to have to put on guardrails. So if you're, let's pretend this was even 10 years ago and somebody was using Adobe InDesign or PowerPoint to create something. You still, from a brand management standpoint, you still have to say, well, has to be that version of our logo and it has to be these colors. And when we're telling the messaging story about us, here's how you're going to do it. And don't deviate from that. It's that same premise of making sure that the guardrails are in place, whether it's with a software like ours or just in general, where you're saying to folks, hey, don't take our 2027 game plan future document, load it up to ChatGPT, and start asking it for opinions when we're a Fortune 20 company, because we don't know what's going to happen. So it's all about, I mean, this is a life lesson, but it's about setting expectations. It's making sure that your staff and your team knows what's allowed, what are the guardrails, and then what are the ramifications, not even just punishments, but what could happen if you violate those guardrails. So again, it's making sure that everything is set up from the onset.
And obviously things are changing quickly. And so since this, you know, has such a huge entrepreneurial following and C-level following, I think one of the questions from a seasoned 2-decade experienced executive of yourself in the space is your relationship to change. You know, my favorite quote about change is always, nobody likes it except for a wet baby. They're the only ones I know that like change. But, you know, even in the space that I'm in, I have some serious frameworks about how to handle change, but the speed and the size of the changes have become, you know, very challenging, even for someone who has been dedicated to systems and frameworks of how to deal with what I know is always coming, uncertainty and change. I'm sure you have, over 2 decades, you know, dealt with the changes of technology and how they have impacted business. How are you dealing with the enormous size of the changes and the acceleration of them?
So I think the word acceleration that you just use is paramount here, because that's exactly what's happening now, is where several years ago it was a transition from servers that sat in a server room or maybe a closet at your company to the cloud. And it was gradual, and people made the transition, and everyone I think is going to agree it worked out well. The speed at which things accelerate now, where, I mean, there are LLMs that nobody even knew about 2 months ago. And now they're out and they're doing amazing things. And Google's releasing things all the time. And I think, and I just put up a post on LinkedIn about this earlier this week, where what you have to do, it's kind of that shiny new toy syndrome. You have to avoid it. And what you have to be able to do is you have to be able to think logically. I mean, especially folks like you, like me, who have built careers on evaluating what's out there, what's the right solution, what's the right approach. You have to stay the course, where you absolutely can do some research, you can make some decisions, talk to folks, but I think it would be a huge mistake for you to take your product roadmap, if you're a software company, and say, we're going to do a 180 right now because Mac Minis can suddenly now run AI agents on them and spawn hundreds of them in minutes based on commands. And let's change our whole infrastructure now. Because by the way, 6 months from now, that may be so commonplace that there's going to be something new. So it's knowing when you want to take advantage of something that's out there and when you just have to put the blinders on, stay the course, and trust your process.
And within the context of staying the course and putting our blinders on, I seem to think that values become more important than ever. People are working for cultures, not companies. And although these circumstances change so quickly, our values shunt. And it makes it easier to adapt to whatever circumstances may come about in a more accelerated manner. Do you have at your businesses firm values, a mission statement? And two, if you do, how important do you feel they are today, even compared to 10 years ago?
That's a great one. I've never been asked that question before, but I can say for me, and this 100% has been just a change, both because I'm not 20 anymore, but also just a change in how I've seen culture work. So when I first started Media Tavern, and this is somewhere about 5 years into it, so call it 2007, 2008, it was super important that everybody be in the office no later than 9 a.m. You're there till 5, and you're working, and you take a lunch and do what you need to do, but you're there, you're focused, you're on site, and essentially, like, you're mine for those hours. And I'd like to say we made the virtual model a thing before COVID made it cool. But what we realized, being in suburban Connecticut, the top talent that was out there, they were not going to commute an hour outside New York City to where we were in Norwalk, Connecticut. They're going to go take the jobs in Brooklyn. And so we realized that in order to get the best people, we need to start having some cultural shifts, some benefits of letting people work remote. Or if there are situations where we've got employees who maybe the primary parent, because the other spouse is working, we will let them work around the schedule, where now we've moved our model so much that if somebody has a project they're working on, they're going to know the deadline, couldn't care less when they're working. If they've got a meeting with a client, try to base your day around when that's going to be. But in terms of doing your own work, couldn't care where it's done. You want to go work in Portugal? Awesome. You want to go work at 2 o'clock in the morning because you can't sleep one night? Don't care. Just get the work done. So I think culturally, where we've always been able to adapt, and it's a little bit more common now, although people being forced to go back to the office has changed things a little bit. But we've become masters of doing brainstorms and things, whether it's on a Meet or a Zoom, and just being able to do everything virtually. And there's certainly a level of trust involved, but that's how we've done it.
It's awesome. And leading to things that COVID made cool makes me reminisce, I should say, about my favorite thing that COVID made cool, which was family dinners. I believe family dinners are a backbone of success to all of the people that work with me and to everybody in the United States and in our culture. It's a missing component that has had a great impact on the Blue Zones. It has a great impact on business and on our own personal value, our self-image. And I try to tell people all the time, you'll never overachieve your own self-image. So let's work on your self-image first. I'll work on giving you the tools to work within the context of that self-image. for you, your people are the most important thing in your business and in your life. What is your philosophy about empowering the people in your life? Is it the family dinner, or are there other things that you value or prioritize to give you that great culture and great success?
Yeah, it is. It's the work-life balance, and it's sort of piggybacking on what the last question was, but it's really the idea of your life has to come first, and you have to. And I know you've talked about this extensively in some of your podcasts as well, but that it's important to be happy. And even if it's not necessarily the job, I don't know, to the point you've made, I don't know that anybody has woken up and said, you know what, I want to design a 75-page PowerPoint deck for a large financial company. I don't know that anybody at 7 years old has woken up and said, that's what I want to do. However, I think to be able to make that as enjoyable and as flexible as possible, so you never miss a parent-teacher conference, you never miss your son or daughter's recital, you never miss your son or daughter's baseball, softball, basketball game. I think that's so important, that your life and your happiness comes first. And then let's try to make the means to be able to achieve all of that as fruitful, as fun, as seamless as possible.
Yeah, it's interesting. My daughter has as she's graduating college, a job in New York where if you stay till 7 o'clock, they'll buy you dinner and you get to have dinner with all your friends. Yep. And it spurred me to have a really great idea Wednesdays, which I call, More Good News Wednesday. Everybody has to take off at 4 o'clock and spend time with their family. And so it's part of our business model and instituted kind of in the remote world where we don't have the big office like Google anymore, with tons of interns and people all day long where I love to buy food for the employees, but it certainly will be interesting because as we're implementing it, I'm already seeing a real strong finish to the end of the week. Just making everybody shut down at 4 o'clock and spend time with their family on Wednesday.
I love that.
I cannot wait to get the data. We do learn from experience, and you got to pay the dummy tax to get to where you want to be or better. But when you get a great leader that also allows people to guide them through the dummy tax to get them to where they are, so we can help other people get to where they are. It's a 1-2 punch with Clatter and Media Tavern. They're helping companies automatically generate presentations, microsites, and marketing documents directly from the data, but they also can maintain, sustain, and grow your brand while still staying in compliance. It's a 1-2 punch. Media Tavern will set it up. Clatter will hit it out of the park. It's leaders like Josh Newman who are helping all of us. He's the managing partner at Clatter. Please promise me you'll come back, Josh, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you in New York, maybe even next week, but we're there a lot, and we'd love to get together in person.
Thanks. Absolutely. Thank you. It was a pleasure being on.
We love it. Incredible leader here with me, David Meltzer, on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.